This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد My brothers and sisters, let me reiterate by repeating the advice of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم which we went over briefly at the end of the last session, where he said that anybody who separates himself from the Ummah from the Muslim community even by the span of a hand, that is from here to here, has removed Islam from his neck unless he returns. The second thing he said is whoever raises the banners and slogans of Al-Jahiliyyah, which is nationalism, tribalism, then he will be in the hellfire. And then he said, call them with their name. Al-Muslimin, Al-Muslimun, Al-Mu'minun, Al-Ibadallah. Al-Muslimun, Al-Mu'minin, Ibadallah. Our identity as Muslims, not our tribe or caste or race or nationality or family. It's very important. This doesn't mean we don't have a family name and so on. We have that. But to say, I am Mughal, I am Pathan, I am this, I am that, I am Sayyid, and I am Palestini, or I am Lebanani, or I am Syrian, or I am Somali, or whatnot. No, I am a Muslim, Alhamdulillah. And Islam is what joins us. Islam joins us, Islam joins our hearts, and that is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used himself. Imagine the izzah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. Allah said, you are one because I am one. Because I am your common Rabb. Right? I am the Rabb for all of you. So therefore, that is what makes you one. Now, if somebody wants to break away from that, and if somebody wants to say, no, but you see, that may be there, but I am so and so. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, such a person is out of the community. So let us not fall into this trap. We come to the story of Maryam alayhi salam, which we have been doing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Imran, وَإِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ وَطَهَّرَكِ وَاصْطَفَاكِ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ يَا مَرْيَمُ اقْنُتِي لِرَبِّكِ وَاسْجُدِي وَارْكَعِي مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ And remember when the angel said, O Maryam, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen you and purified you from polytheism and disbelief and chosen you above the women of the Alameen, the mankind and jinn of her lifetime. O Maryam, submit yourself with obedience to your Rabb and make sujood and ruku along with the people who make sujood and ruku. Now, here the lesson is that Maryam alayhi salam is being ordered to join the Salatul Jama'ah and pray because she is staying in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, and so she is being told to join the Jama'ah. Maryam alayhi salam is a very special person. Maryam alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam are the two people who are completely free from sin whatsoever. Maryam alayhi salam never committed a sin in her whole life. She was never misguided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected her from the day she was born, and so also her son Isa alayhi salam. These are two people who are completely unique in the whole of creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected all his Anbiya. But these two were very, very special. Shaitan never touched them. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this. And he said, they asked him, he said, Ya Rasulullah, did Shaitan touch you? He said, yes, but Allah has protected me. So he could not harm. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah mentioned the whole set of ayat in Surah Maryam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَرْيَمَ إِذِ انْتَبَذَتْ مِنْ أَحْلَهَا مَكَانًا شَرْقِيًّا فَاتَّخَذَتْ مِنْ دُونِهِمْ حِجَابًا فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهَا رُوحًا فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا قَالَتْ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ مِنْكَ إِنْ كُنْتَ تَقِيًّا قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَنَا رَسُولُ رَبِّكِ لِأَهَبَ لَكِ غُلَامًا زَكِيًّا قالت أنى يكون لي غلام ولم يمسسني بشر ولم أك بغيا قال كذلك قال ربك هو علي هين ولنجعله آية للناس ورحمة منا وكان أمرا مقضيا فحملته فانتبذت به مكانا قصيا فأجاءها المخاض إلى جذع النخلة قالت يا ليتني مت قبل هذا كنت نسيا منسيا فناداها من تحتها ألا تحزني قد جعل ربك تحتك سريا وهزي إليك بجذع النخلة تساقط عليك رطبا جنيا فكلي واشربي وقري عينا فإما ترين من البشر أحدا فقولي إني نذرت للرحمن صوما فلن أكلم اليوم إنسيا فأتت به قومها تحمله قالوا يا مريم لقد جئت شيئا فريا يا أخت هارون ما كان أبوك امرأ سوء وما كانت أمك بغية فأشارت إليه قالوا كيف نكلم من كان في المهدي صبيا قال إني عبد الله آتاني الكتاب وجعلني نبيا وجعلني مباركا أينما كنت وأوصاني بالصلاة والزكاة ما دمت حيا وبرا بوالدتي ولم يجعلني جبارا شقيا والسلام علي يوم ولدت ويوم أموت ويوم أبعث حيا ذلك عيسى بن مريم قول الحق الذي فيه يمترون ما كان لله أن يتخذ من ولد سبحانه إذا قضى أمرا فإنما يقول له كن فيكون وإن الله ربي وربكم فاعبدوه هذا صراط مستقيم. In Surah Maryam, starting from ayah number 16, Allah said and mentioned in the book, the Quran of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the story of Maryam, when she withdrew in seclusion from her family to a place facing east. She placed a screen to screen herself from them, then she went to her, and then we sent to her our ruh, that is Jibreel alayhi salam, and he appeared before her in the form of a man. In all respects, she said, verily I seek refuge from the most beneficent, from Ar-Rahman, from Allah, from you, if you do fear Allah. The angel said, I am only a messenger from your Rabb to announce to you the gift of a righteous son. She said, how can I have a son when no man has touched me, nor am I unchaste? He said, so it will be. Kadalik. I love this beautiful way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expresses His Qudrat and His power. When the human being's brain and mind no longer works, and he says, how is this possible? It's completely impossible. The angel says, that is how it will be. Kadalik. So it will be. That is easy for me, Allah said. And your Rabb said, that is easy for me. And we wish to appoint him as a sign to mankind as a mercy from us. And it is a matter already decreed by Allah. So she conceived him and she withdrew with him to a far place, that is Bethlehem Valley, about 4 to 6 miles from Jerusalem. And the pains of childbirth drove her to the trunk of a date palm. She said, would that I have died before this and had been forgotten and out of sight. Then the baby, Isa, cried unto her from below her, saying, grieve not, your Rabb has provided a water stream under you. And shake the trunk of date palm towards you. It will let fall ripe dates upon you. So eat and drink and be glad. And if you see any human being, say, verily I have vowed a fast unto Allah, so I shall not speak to any human being this day. And then she brought him the baby to her people carrying him. They said, O Mary, indeed you have brought a thing fariya, an unheard mighty thing, meaning a terrible thing. O sister of Harun. Now this is not the Harun who is the brother of Musa alayhi salam. but is another pious man at the time of Maryam alayhi salam. Your father was not a man who used to commit adultery, nor your mother was an unchaste woman. But Maryam alayhi salam didn't speak, she pointed to the baby. They said, how can we talk to one who is a child in the cradle? And he, Isa alayhi salam, said, verily, I am a slave of Allah, and he has given me the scripture and made me a prophet. And he has made me blessed wheresoever I be, and has enjoined on me salah, prayer, and zakat as long as I live, and to be dutiful to my mother. And he did not make me arrogant, he made me not arrogant and not unblessed. And salam be on me the day I was born, and the day I die, and the day I shall be raised alive. Such is Isa, the son of Maryam. It is a statement of truth about which they doubt. It befits not the majesty of Allah that he should beget a son. And this refers to the claim of the Christians, the slander of the Christians against Allah by saying that Isa alayhi salam is the son of Allah. Glorified and exalted be he above all that they associate with him. When he decrees a thing, he only says to it, be, and it is. Isa alayhi salam said, and verily Allah is my Rabb and your Rabb. So worship him alone. That is the straight path. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, this beautiful deen of Islam is not something that was invented by any human being. No matter how big, no matter how powerful, no matter how pious. It was not invented by any Nabi, any Rasul. It was not invented by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah is the Rasul. He is the messenger. He brought the deen. The deen was chosen for us by Allah. Just let this thing sink into you. Let us thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this deen, which Allah gave us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is the giver, not anybody else. And Allah himself gave us this deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum, wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, wa raditu lakum al-islamu deena. Allah said, today I have completed this deen, and I have completed my ni'mah on you, ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my blessing on you. And I have chosen for you this deen of Islam. You know, in our culture, if some great person, somebody who's, say my sheikh or my grandfather or my father, or somebody, you know, head of the Qabila, gives me a gift. For example, we go on Eid and so on, you know, they give us Eidi. So they give us some money. It's not a large amount of money, small, some, you know, 10 rupees or 100 rupees, something like this. But that note, that particular bill, we don't spend it. We keep it carefully in our wallets. Because of barakah, we say this is something that came from the hand of the Sheikh. This is something which he touched. Just as a matter of respect. And a matter of respect and as a matter of showing our appreciation and thanks for it. Imagine what we must think about this deen of Islam, which is given to us not by any human being, but by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who chose this deen for me and for you. And he is the one who gave this deen to us. How must we value this deen? That is my question which I am asking you. And a question which I ask myself. Do I really have value for this deen? And value for the deen means to follow the deen. Not just to say, oh, I value this deen, I love this deen. No. If you value the deen, we need to follow the deen. Now think about this whole issue of all these ayat which I recited. The help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes only when you have done your part and when all your resources are finished. You know, we have this Japanese system called the just-in-time inventory. In assembly lines, just-in-time inventory is to have, you know, when the operator is standing there and he's assembling parts, so as the part comes to him, he needs to attach his piece to the part which came. So the just-in-time inventory is that when he puts his hand into the bin to pick up the part, there should be only one part there, not two, only one. He picks that one up and he fits it. Now the bin is empty. Now the next part comes, then he puts his hand in the bin, there should be one part. And that part fits in, right? Because if you are carrying, if there are two parts there, then you are carrying one extra part which adds to your inventory costs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala operates on this principle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you when you need, when the need comes. And this is where we get into trouble, because we have got used to this idea of stockpiling stuff. SubhanAllah, I mean, to see wastage, you have to come to America. There is probably no American home which has at least, which has only one fridge. They have at least two fridges, or a fridge and a freezer in the basement. So the fridge is full of food, the freezer is full of food, and because of the construction of the freezer, what's at the bottom of the freezer usually stays there until it expires, expiry date is over, and then they throw it. It's that much of wastage. You have garages, two-car garage which will have one car in the garage, one car standing outside, and the half of the garage is filled with stuff. And when they have garage sales, there are things that come out of the garage which are in packets which have not even been opened. Allah does not operate like this. Allah will give you when the need is there. Allah does not ask you for tomorrow's dish today. So therefore don't ask Him for tomorrow's food today. When tomorrow comes, if tomorrow comes, Allah will give it. This is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here, Maryam alayhi salam must make the effort to shake the tree before the dates fall on her. Now, I don't know how many of you have actually seen a date palm tree. A date palm tree is a fully grown, mature date palm tree. The trunk is so thick that a grown man cannot put his arms around it like this. You cannot. The circumference is bigger than that. Now, Maryam alayhi salam is a slim young woman, right? Almost a girl. How is she going to shake this tree? The tree is like it's like a pillar. You cannot shake it. The idea here is not for her to have physical strength to shake the tree. The idea is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is His way. He's going to make the dates fall. But the asbab have to be completed. Now think about this. Here was Maryam alayhi salam, who was getting food sitting in a room. She wasn't doing anything there. She didn't have to shake any tree. She didn't have to make any effort. The food was just coming to her from Jannah. But that was a different time. This is a different time. Here, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised her the child, she said, how is it possible? And Allah said, it will happen. Here, you were getting food from Jannah. How was that possible? So why do you ask this question here? But we are human. So we ask. Zakariya alayhi salam saw what was happening to Maryam alayhi salam. And then he made dua, O Allah, give me an heir. And when Allah said, I will give you, and his name will be Yahya, he said, how is it possible because I am so old? Right? The dua he made was that I am very old and my wife is barren, but give me an heir. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I will give you an heir, he said, how is this possible? This is human nature. Human nature is to have what we call at least logical and legitimate doubts. But faith is to get over those doubts. Faith is to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that those doubts are dispelled. So she made this effort. Now it's very important to take the first step. And Allah will guide those who seek guidance. The first step must be taken. That's very important. And then the malaika, they spoke to her again. And then the angel said, O Maryam, verily Allah gives you the glad tidings of a word. So Isa alayhi salam is called Ruhullah, he's called Kalimatullah, and which is B, and he was Isa. From him, his name will be Messiah, Masiha, Isa, the son of Maryam, held in honor in the world and in the hereafter. and will be one of those who are near to Allah. He will speak to the people in the cradle and in manhood he will be one of the righteous. She said, O my Rabb, how shall I have a son when no man has touched me? He said, so it will be. For Allah creates what He wills. And when He has decreed something, He says to it, be, and it is. And He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will teach him, Isa alayhi salam, the book and the hikmah, the sunnah, which is the faultless speech and the way of the prophets, and the Taurat and the Injil, and will make him, Isa, a messenger to the children of Israel, saying, I have come to you with a sign from your Rabb, and I design for you out of clay, and these are the miracles of Isa alayhi salam. I design for you out of clay, as it were, a figure of a bird, and breathe into it, and it becomes a bird by Allah's leave, live bird which flies away. And I heal him who was born blind, and I heal the leper. Yeah, they were very proud of their medical capabilities. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Isa alayhi salam the ultimate capability. Somebody who's born blind, who's never had eyesight, will get eyesight. And leprosy was known to be incurable, and Isa alayhi salam will cure the leper. And the final one is, I will bring the dead to life by Allah's leave. He's saying, I'm not doing this, this is not my power, this is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me to demonstrate His glory and greatness. And I inform you of what you eat and what you store in your houses. So Isa alayhi salam would tell them, what was in the house. Surely therein is a sign for you if you believe. So he says, these miracles are to show the greatness and glory of Allah. It is very important to understand this, because we get sometimes confused and we say, oh, sahib karamat, we talk about Nabi. In Arabic we use two different words. Mu'jiza we say for the Nabi, and karamat we say for the ghair Nabi, the one who is not a Nabi. So we say, oh, sahib karamat, this person is a sahib of the karamat, that is his karamat. No karamat and no mu'jiza belongs to the one who is doing it, whether it's a Nabi or whether it's a non-Nabi. All mu'jizat, all karamat. What is a mu'jiza or a karamat? A mu'jiza or a karamat is something which is against the laws of physics, to put it another way, which is against what normally happens. Right? Against what normally happens. This is a mu'jiza or a karamat, depending on who is the means through which it is shown to you. And that's why if you see in Surah Naml, when the throne of Bilqis was brought, and the man who was there in the court of Sulaiman alayhi salam, he said to him that, he said, just look away and it will be here. Sulaiman alayhi salam did not say, oh mashallah, fantastic, what a sahib of karamat you are. Sulaiman alayhi salam said, Hada min fadli rabbi. What happened here just now is the fadl of my Rabb. لِيَبْلُوَنِي, to test me, whether I do shukr or I do not do shukr. Because he is the Nabi of Allah, he knows. He knows what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing here. Allah is using a man. Ifritum min al jinn, the jinn said, I will go and bring it. Before your majlis finishes, the takht will be here, the throne will be here. There was a man, ilmu min al-kitab, he had some knowledge of the book. And he said, I don't have to go anywhere. You just look over there and the throne is here. He transported the throne from Yemen, from really actually the Rub al-Khali, to Jerusalem. So this is what Isa alayhi salam is telling them, so that you will believe in your Creator. And I have come confirming that which was before me of the Torah, and to make lawful to you part of what was forbidden to you, and I have come to you with a proof from your Rabb. So fear Allah and obey me. Ittaqullaha wa atiyuni. Truly Allah is my Rabb and your Rabb, so worship Him alone. This is the straight path. Incidentally, this ayat is also in the Bible. Where Isa alayhi salam, they have written in the Bible to say that Isa alayhi salam said, "The Lord, your God, the Lord is one." Yeah, he didn't say three. But this is what people do, huh? Now, interesting thing to remember here is that the prophets got miracles in relation to the things which the people were proud of. So in the case of Musa alayhi salam, Egyptians were very proud of their magic, the power of their magic. So Musa alayhi salam was given the ultimate miracle which nullified all their magic. Now Isa alayhi salam's time, they were very proud of their medical capabilities. They got this medicine they learned it from the Greeks. And they practiced it, the Romans and the Jews, especially the Jews. They were amazing physicians. Very, very skilled physicians. But no matter how skilled the physician is, he couldn't cure leprosy. He couldn't give sight to a person who was born blind. And obviously they couldn't raise the dead. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Isa alayhi salam these miracles. And then in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Arabs were very proud of their language, the Arabic. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the Quran. Now Isa alayhi salam came to confirm the law of the Torah. But sadly, after his lifting up of Isa alayhi salam to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Paul came and said that they do not have to follow the law. And so Christianity is the religion of Paul, not so much Isa alayhi salam. Isa alayhi salam religion had a very strong spiritual dimension to it, with a lot of force on seclusion and monk life, zuhud. He was very strongly against dunya, against money, against earning. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said the earth was his bed and the sky was his cover. He was very strongly against dunya. He never married and he sacrificed everything, whatever he had, he completely gave it away because his people were totally immersed in dunya. Rasulullah's message, however, is balanced with a focus on leading others in this world in a way that helps in the akhirah. Because he is the last of the messengers and his message is universal for all time. Right? The message of Islam is the universal, it's a universal message. Islam is the kitab of Allah is the book which is called the Hudal Linnas. It is the book which is the guidance for all of mankind. Allah Himself is Rabbul Alameen, the Rabb of all the worlds and everything it contained in it. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is Rahmatul Lil Alameen, not Rahmatul Muslimin, Rahmatul Lil Alameen. He is the Rahmah, He is the mercy for all the creation. So this is the talk, this is the universality, yeah, of the message of Islam. Now Maryam alayhi salam now has a child and obviously she cannot explain this to her people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told her not to speak. And he told her to say that she is fasting from speaking and to point to the child. And again, obviously this was not easy for her to do. Sometimes I think it's a great mercy of Allah. We look at these ayat in the next class inshallah. It's a great mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not cause us to be born in those times. Because today we are sitting here, centuries later, with the book of Allah in our hand. And Allah is the witness and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, yes, this is what happened with her. This is what happened with Maryam alayhi salam, and this is what happened to the child, and so on, so on. So we know, so we believe. But imagine those people at that time, here is this lady, this young woman, who comes from this very honorable family, and she is a very pious woman, and so on. And suddenly, out of the blue, she has a child. She's not married, there's no, you know, man involved. What kind of a challenge would that have been for them to believe? that there's nothing wrong involved in this. You know, Allah saves us from these tests. So of course, very few believed. Most of them blamed her. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused Isa alayhi salam to speak, even though he was in the cradle. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there were three children who spoke as infants. One was Isa alayhi salam, the other one was the child Ashab al-Hudud, the child who was Dunawas, the Yemeni king, who was persecuting the people of Isa alayhi salam, the Christians. And he dug this trench and he ordered them to jump into the trench. And the last of them to jump in was this, the trench was full of fire. We lighted a huge fire in the trench. And the last of them was a woman with an infant, and she hesitated because of the child. And the child said, jump, that is Jannah. My mother, don't hesitate. And the third one was a child, and the mother was sitting with the child in her arms. And a great, one of the nobility in that country, he came by riding a caparisoned decorated horse and with his entourage. And the mother said, oh Allah, make my son like this. And the baby said, oh Allah, do not make me like this. And after some time, there was a woman was going, and there were children and urchins and so on chasing her and abusing her. And the mother said, oh Allah, protect my child from being something like this. And the child said, Ya Allah, make me like her. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the nobleman was a scoundrel, whereas that woman was a pious woman. And people didn't realize that, and they thought she was mad or something, and they were abusing her. Three children who spoke as infants. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us and to keep us safe from His tests. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to test us. We accept our sins, we make istighfar, we make tawbah, we seek repentance, we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept us and to help us and to be with us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.